Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
All right, big thanks to Stevie there as always, and welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, bringing you the sporting updates from around the Rebel County as well as further afield. And defending champions Kerry have suffered an opening day defeat to Donegal in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. Last year's runners-up, they defeated Kerry 220 to 16 points, with Kieran Moore and Shea Malone grabbing the goals for Jim McGuinness's side. And today's 10-point defeat is the heaviest defeat Kerry have ever suffered in the championship in Fitzgerald Stadium, and Kerry had never lost by as much since the stadium opened all the way back in 1936. From a Cork point of view, we move it on, and in the Electric Ireland All-Ireland Minor Hurling Championship preliminary quarter-final, Cork beat Wexford earlier this afternoon at Thurles. At full-time, Cork won out 218 to 215. They made hard work of it by all accounts. Sam McCarthy scoring 1-2 off the bench really saved Cork. Super going by the Castle Lions man. To what really matters, maybe, to Corkonians now at the moment. And Cork are currently losing against Meath in Parkyring in their fixture on a scoreline of 114 to 9 points. It was all going so well until the last few minutes. Conlon there of Meath getting them the goal. They popped over their two-pointers a lot easier than Cork have been. Advantage Meath at the moment, but hopefully the Rebels can turn things around there. We'll get the lowdown soon, hopefully, from our very own Ger McCarthy, who is there in Parkyring for us. But first, let's hear his chat during the week with Cork boss John Cleary.
Now, on Saturday, May 23rd, round one of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship gets underway, with Cork hosting Meath in Parkyring at 5:30 p.m. ahead of that big game. Cork Senior Football Manager John Cleary joins us here now on the Big Red Bench. John, how are you?
All good, Ger. All good. Looking forward to the weekend now. And, hopefully things will go our way.
How have preparations gone this week and since the Munster final?
I suppose the first few days after the Munster final, all of us were just a small bit, deflated, which happens when you lose any championship game. But look, I think we parked it reasonably quickly 3 or 4 days after that. And since then, our sole focus has been Meath and preparing for them, and that's what we've been doing,
Yeah, you moved on from it, but did you spend much time analysing and take anything from it, like the first half performance, or were there things that you could build on?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Every championship game you play, or every league game, competitive at that level, you have to analyse it and take the good and the bad out of it. But then you quickly move on, because, look, it's not the same team you're playing again the following week, so... You've got to look forward to the team you're actually playing in a week's time. So that's what we've done. And as I said, trying to take the good from it and try and work on the things that didn't go well for us. And that's what we've been doing. But looking forward to a different challenge now against Meath at the weekend.
Indeed. There's unlikely to be much in this game, John, because there was 2 points separating in the National League, 2 points in the National League final. You know each other very well. You and Robbie Brennan know each other very well. But I would imagine the starting point is a full 70-minute performance, because that's what's going to be required here.
It is, yeah. And look, the way games are going now at the moment, you'll get your period of dominance and you'll get periods when you'll be under the cosh. That's the way, particularly with the new rules. And, it's trying to limit the damage when you're under pressure, and then to take advantage of it when you're on top. And, I think that's what every team is trying to get an edge on now at the moment, and we're no different. And as you said, look, the previous games have been very, very close and nothing between them. Even we met them last year and was the same, because we won by a point in the league and they won by 2 points in the championship. So, the last four meetings, there's never been more than a score between us. So, it could happen that it could be the same now at the weekend. And look, we're preparing for a big, big battle.
You and the Cork players enjoy playing at Parkyring. You've faced Meath in the National League there already this year. How important is it, the atmosphere that the Cork fans are going to generate for you in such a tight game?
Absolutely. The league game we are there, definitely coming down the straight. We had only 14 players, and the crowd really got behind us, and I think that's probably the defining point in the game that and particularly when you're playing at home. We know from going away it can be intimidating in other grounds, so you know, why not be for other teams coming to play us? And as I said, look, we played Meath and Kildare. They're a great atmosphere, and definitely the crowd helped us, and we'll be hoping for the same at the weekend.
You've been very good and very straight on. When the National League was finished, you parked it. When the Munster Championship is finished, you parked it. This is a brand new series, a brand new competition. Do you notice a freshness about the players now, and that you're treating it like this, that it's a brand new chance again to start all over again?
Absolutely. You know, they always say, look, we can look back at the end of the year at the various components of, you know, what happens. But at this stage, you don't get a chance. You know, the league finished. We just had 2 weeks into the Munster Championship. For the Munster Championship, just 2 weeks into the... When the Munster Championship finished, just 2 weeks into the All-Ireland Championship. And a new format this year. Not so sure anyone is sure how it will pan out because it's the first year of it. But look, all we know at this point in time, if you win two games, you're in the All-Ireland quarterfinal in Cork Park, and you get your two-week break all the way. That's the best and the easiest way to make progress, and that's all we're looking at the present.
Have you noticed with the players, because it's a brand new competition again, and just not that they necessarily want to atone for the Munster final defeat, but that they want to add to all the positivity from the start of the year when you gain promotion to Division 1?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, as I said, they can see a pathway there in the championship. And, you know, when the draw was made, we knew it was a difficult draw, but the big thing was possibly that we were playing at home, and you hopefully we can, you know, use that to our advantage at the weekend. And, you know, if you win that, you're only one game away from Croke Park. Lose it, and it's probably a more difficult pathway to get there. But as I said, look, it's a new format, and we won't really know how it pans out until maybe a couple of games into it.
Sean Brady misses out. It sounds like neither Brian Hurley nor Dara Sheedy will make this game either, John. But look, is this a case from your point of view in the backroom team, next man up? Like, injuries are part of the championship. Disappointing to lose players of that talent, but you've got guys who want to step in and make a mark now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it has to be a panel game. And I think I've always said it since the start of the year that the amount of games that are on in quick succession for amateur players, you're bound to have attrition, and that's what's happening to us now. We were lucky enough maybe in the last stages of the league when we had a more or less a full deck to pick from. Now it's our turn to get a few knocks into lads, but look, that's the way it is. We just move on, and as I said, it's an opportunity for someone else to step up to the plate.
And just finally, John, a quick word on the Cork Miners and their fantastic Electric Ireland Munster Minor football win over Kerry last Monday night. A huge boost for the county, and a real boost for yourselves as well, going into a big game.
I was down there now, and you know, coming down the home stretch, you know, there was a fantastic atmosphere there, and in fairness to the lads, you know, they really stood up there when the going got tough, and at times, you know, it looked like they mightn't get over the line, and the end was up and down the field, but look, an extra time, I think there was only one team in it, and great victory, and God, it's all concerned with that, you know.
On Saturday, May 23rd at Parky Ring at 5:30 p.m, it's Cork versus Meath in round one of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. From everyone here on the Big Red Bench, good luck to you, John, the backroom team, and all the players.
Thanks a million, John.
All right, well, in that one, it's currently Cork 11 points to Meads 116. Hopefully, when I raise this filter, we're going to hear from our very own Ger McCarthy, who is there in Parky Ring. Ger, can you tell us where it's gone wrong from a Cork point of view? Because it was going so well until it wasn't.
Dan, Cork were skirting with danger from a couple of their short kickouts there in the first half, and they got turned over from one of those, and from that, Kieran Caulfield nailed a goal. But to be honest, the Mead forwards have been getting better and better as the half has progressed. Matthew Costello is causing a lot of danger, even when he drops deep. Jordan Morris is making some big runs, but it's Rory Kinsella and it's James Condon who are doing all the damage. They've been everywhere. And the fact that Mead have been able to pick off five 2-pointers in the half. They just got a scoring burst after that Caulfield goal, and Cork have not been able to close the gap.
It's a real shame from a Cork point of view, Ger. How do you think what would Clare be saying to them at halftime? How do you come back from that one after being 8 points down at this stage?
Yeah, well, I think it is unfortunate because they started really well in that first quarter. There was nothing between the teams. They were level five or six times. And don't forget, Sean Brennan has had to make two excellent saves. One from Luke Fahey that looked a nailed on goal. Another from Chris Holt-Jones. So there's two goals that have gone begging for Cork. There are chances being created there, but they've got to get a goal early. They've got to get a goal in the third quarter, Dan, I think, because they don't let Meade build and extend that lead, because Meade looked very, very comfortable. And like, they made five changes to the starting lineup, but around the middle of the field there, Keane McBride and Charlie O'Connor are winning a lot of ball. Cork, in fairness to them, two halfbacks, Brian O'Driscoll and Luke Fahey, are getting the odd break and pushing forward whenever they can. But that Kieran Caulfield goal and their ability, Meade's ability to pick off two pointers against this Cork defence means they've left themselves with a mountain to climb the second half. But they are creating goal chances. If they take one of them and get going again on a scoring burst, they might be able to reel them in.
Does more need to be done to get Chris Hogue and Sherlock in the game when you're kind of relying on Brian O'Driscoll and Luke Fahey to punch those holes? You might be in trouble.
Yeah, I think one of the criticisms we're hearing from the crowd, and man, is there a big crowd in here today, is the slowness of Cork's attack, Stan. They're getting to the arc and they're taking their time. They're going left and right, looking for that opening. And at the beginning of the game, they were finding those openings and kicking their points. But the Meath defence has definitely tightened up as the half has progressed. Cork, the clock is against them now and the scoreboard is against them. I think you'd see a far more direct route perhaps in the second half. Getting Chris Hogue, and Mark Cronin into the game, it's very simple. Bring everyone out, let those three guys inside and let them give the ball into them in space that they can attack the Meade defence at pace. At the moment, they're coming at it too slow. They're coming left and right at each time, as I said, from those patient build-ups, and that Meade defence can see it coming. They've been able to block them off and force a lot of wides as well. A bit more direct maybe in the second half. In fairness to Colin McCallum and Ian McGuire, they're doing their best and they have gotten through a couple of times, but Cork are going to have to dominate the middle third and go that bit more direct, I think, if they're going to eat into this lead, and definitely as early as they possibly can.
Would you agree, Gerard, that Cork are incredibly dangerous when we are on the counter, when we're playing this quick football instead of this pop passing in front of the post, like we were doing against Kerry the last day, like we're doing today, and it just gets us nowhere in the end?
Yeah, I'd agree. I think Cork, like, the one thing we've got in that forward line is pace. Paul Walsh, Sean McDonald are big guys. If they're running at you, you're going to win frees, you're going to force errors. But what's happening is too often Cork are winning possession, or when they win possession, Meath are already back and set up into their defensive setup, and they can see us coming. So I think if they draw more of the half forward line out in the second half and leave the three forwards, Cronin, Holt-Jones and Sherlock, inside, hit them with direct ball and go from there, I think we are able to open up. And don't forget, as you said, with the pace we've got in the team, Brian O'Driscoll and Luke Fahey, they've each gotten through on a couple of occasions from either wing and open that Meade defence, and I think that's the route they're going to have to go in the second half. But I would say, in fairness, Meade were slow starting, but man, have they kicked some serious two pointers. James Conlon has taken serious marking. Matthew Costello as well is dropping deep. Owen Frayne has done really well when he's had the opportunities, he's taken them. And you've got to give it to Meade, they're full value for this lead. And to be fair, Dan, I don't think Cork are playing that badly. I just think Meade in the second quarter found another gear and Cork haven't been able to answer as of yet.
What have you made of David Buckley's performance? He was the only change from the game against Kerry the last day.
He's been well shackled. The Meade players would know all about him from the National League anyway. And like, as you would expect anyway, Robbie Brennan would have his homework done on this team. He is being swallowed up a lot every time he gets on the ball, so they know he's a danger. And he hasn't been able to wriggle free and hit those long-range attempts that he's done so brilliantly for Lucistown, not just this year, but last year as well. That's why Buckley's in the team, to get those long-range efforts. But he just hasn't been given the time or the space to do it. And in fairness to him, whenever he has gotten possession, it's been wide on the wing and he hasn't been able to cut in. Buckley tends to do his most dangerous work with Newcestown, especially in around the centre, Dan. He's not getting that space, and that's because that space just in front of the arc, Sean Coffey, Brian Menton, Kieran Caulfield, as well as McBride, and Charlie O'Connor in the middle of the field, they're just swallowing up Cork and forcing them wide, forcing them to go left and right. Meade are very happy to sit deep and let Cork be patient, kicking it wide, waiting for their opportunities, and now they've built the cushion of that lead. And I think the real danger for Cork is, Dan, they're going to have to chase this game now. They're going to have to run and try and get Buckley, try and get Cronin and O'Jones into scoring positions. They're going to have to gamble, and by doing that, now you're creating space at the opposite end for Frayne, for Conlon and for Costello to cause damage. So third quarter, hugely important for Cork. got to get off to a good start, and they need to get some scores on the board and reduce it down. But I do think we're going to see a more direct approach, maybe even see Rory Dean come in and around the box. And don't forget as well, Brian Hurley has been named on the bench today. He wasn't named in the starting day panel. He's on the bench instead of Conor Daly on the subs bench. We may well see him at some juncture. And if it's one thing Brian Hurley likes, it's an opportunity to run at meet defences. And I think we will see him before the day is out.
Do we have enough impact off that bench shirt to get the job done? It's looking a monumental task now at the moment.
I would say to you that as well as Brian Hurley, like the likes of Owen McSweeney, Sean Walsh, they're players that have come on and done a job for him this year. Conor Corbett is another guy. If you put him in around the square, Dan, he can do damage. But you've got whoever we bring on, Conor Callaghan, Sean Walsh, Conor Corbett or Brian Hurley, the ball into them has to be quick and it has to be direct. The accuracy of the last third passing has been poor from Cork. And the other big concern I've found today is Patrick Doyle has been on point with his long-range kickouts, but the short kickouts, twice we nearly got cut out for goals. And I think they need to abandon that now and just go long and go direct. I do think we'll see Hurley. I do think we'll see Dean. But if it was me, I'd also be springing Conor Corbett earlier rather than later, because he's the kind of guy to come in and do some damage. And don't rule out Jacob O'Driscoll, the Valley Rovers young fellow who's on the bench as well. He was fantastic for Cork tonight in that victory. Keith Rickens' side that beat Kerry in the Munster final. He could be a wild card that we see before the end. But whatever Cork or whatever John Cleary decides to do, I think he needs to do it quickly, because this game could very, very easily get away from Cork unless they kick on in the third quarter, unless they get more accurate in the final third and they start taking risks and start trying to few two-pointers from range. A goal would certainly boost them and boost their confidence, because the crowd in here today, we haven't got the official attendance yet, Dan, but it is absolutely heaving. Fantastic atmosphere until Meath pulled away, but the Meath fans are certainly enjoying it.
Is there danger again of the Cork footballing public becoming disheartened with this team? We saw it in Killarney the last day, although I think a lot of people are just down for the day in Kerry. But are we going to have a lot of disappointed people at half-time and, well, maybe at full-time as well, the way it's going?
Well, right, what I'd say to you is the Cork footballing public, and it's pretty small public, let's be honest about it. Promotion to Division 1 was one of the key goals at the start of the year, and they got that. That was a huge achievement and hugely important for next year. You couldn't argue, though, the Munster Football Championship performances, not just the second half capitulation to Kerry, but overall their performances in Munster have been substandard, and John Cleary's admitted that. He also admitted that a full 70-minute performance was needed today if they were going to get over Meath. Now, they have not delivered in the first half. You can't be that many points down to Meath in any game and expect to win it. You've got to be in it at half-time. You've got to be in it coming down the stretch. I do think, though, that the Cork footballing public, I mean, their patience probably is wearing thin. I wouldn't deny that. But there is a kick in this team. They could still come back. And, you know, the All-Ireland Championship doesn't end today if they lose. Obviously, it would be better for them if they could get the victory. It makes life easier going on further in the Championship. But I do think that it's not like they haven't created chances today, Dan. They've had two goal chances, had one of those gone in, had a couple of the efforts from long range gone the right side of the posts. They're still very much in the game. It's just me. They've been so accurate. And when you get to the stage of the All-Ireland Championship, when you're playing the Kerrys and you're playing the Meads, and if you end up playing the Armaghs or even the Dublins later on, or the Donegals, you cannot go to sleep like Cork did in the second quarter. You cannot afford to concede 1-2, 1-3 in the space of 5 minutes, because the good teams will beat you. And until Cork eradicate that, and it has been a problem in the Munster Championship, but it's certainly been a problem today, it's going to be very, very difficult for them to, I think, stay in the All-Ireland Championship longer than they would absolutely like. But I don't think this game is over, Dan. I know there's a huge mountain to climb the second half. Had Cork not been creating the chances and missing them in the first half that they've done, I would tell you that it's probably done and dusted, but it's not. And there's enough talent in that Cork team and a crowd that's ready and dying just to get behind them. If they get a goal, if they get a couple of two-pointers, they can put it up to Meath. But I can't argue with you. Like, it is frustrating to see them, you know, play in fits and starts but not be able to have the consistent level of performance that's needed when you get to the stage of the Championship. And it certainly hurt them in the first half here.
John McCarthy, we leave you go. Hopefully a huge half ahead for Cork football. Thanks so much for joining us.
Sound down, talk to you soon.
Love the optimism. All right, two bit of league football now, and we're in the closing stages of this year's McCarthy Insurance Group Group Division 1 Football J League, and two clubs hoping to reach this year's County League Final. Sorry, just WhatsApp was in front of the script. Met in Union Hall earlier this week, where an injury time goal earned Castlehaven a draw from the jaws of defeat to Newcestown. And the big red bench is John McCarthy. It's the John McCarthy show today anyway. Spoke to both managers after that game, Castlehaven's Seanie Cahillane and Newcestown's Jim O'Sullivan, who we're going to hear from first.
Okay, disappointment. Obviously, a last minute goal concession, a win in your grasp and it ends in a draw. But considering the conditions, awful conditions, what are your immediate thoughts after the game?
I suppose your immediate thoughts are a little disappointed. I suppose we probably gave away two bad goals in the second half. But I suppose any time you come down to Castlehaven and get a draw, I won't say you should be happy with it, but like, it's a tough game. I thought the level of football was very very good in the conditions. And it was just disappointing. I suppose we just switched off there in the last minute with that free. And, you know, they got the goal, so we just have to get them in it.
Two scoring bursts in the first half and the second half. You got some good two-pointers. You were ahead and pulling away, looking in control. But it's just those mistakes heading back in.
Yeah, I think I suppose just the second goal they got, I suppose it was Chris White, the ball went in over his head. Again, I blame the conditions for that. Look, we have to just, I suppose, concentrate on our own game and be happy with the way we played. I thought we played some very good football, and you know, when you're playing Castlehaven down here, it is always going to be tough. And I thought we played well and we handled it well, and we played, as I said, we played good football.
Six games in, are you happy where you are? Because you've been competitive in every game, you've only lost once, and in every game you haven't got your full team either at the same time. Are you in a good position heading into the final run of league games?
I think we are, yeah. I'd say that makes us safe now, I'd say. But you know, there was a couple of games, you know, when the games are draw, after drawing three, they can go either way, you know, they can go on the balance of the scales. So you know, I suppose you have to be happy with a draw maybe, but I suppose we are happy enough where we are at the moment. We're nearly up top half of the table. So, look, we've another three games left. So, we have to drive on the last three games.
And what is the mantra for the last three games? If you know you're safe, you're going to experiment, or are you just going to try and play your strongest team coming into the championship?
I always say, Joe, like when you're playing football and hurling, you have to be, you know, manage the players as well.
Yeah.
It's tough to do when you're playing the two high leagues. And we just have to be conscious of that. Yeah. Some players are after playing less, probably 8, 9, 10 weeks in a row, and it's tough going. So, you know, that's what you have a panel for, and you know, we might throw a couple of fellas in there now next week again.
And is this where your experience of this over the last number of years and being successful in both coach, you know, went to, you know, the load on players?
I wouldn't say that, really. I'd say the players tell us, really, like when you know, look, we have to be conscious, because you know, it's by the end of July, you don't want to have the players flogged, and you want to be fit and fresh and happy and raring to go. So we have to be conscious of that. Our first thing is supposed to be safe in the league. I think we're safe now, well, hopefully we're safe, so we'll take a lot from there then.
And just finally on that, like the conditions tonight, the game that you got tonight, the tough game, we didn't get the result, but what the players put in over that 60-70 minutes is as good as any number of training sessions?
Oh, completely. But that, you know, every day we go out, the players give the same. So, you know, we know what we're going to get off the players. Same as Castlehaven, you know what they're going to get off their players. So, you know, we're happy with that. And anytime our players in front of the red and yellow jersey, you know, they'll give their all.
Excellent stuff. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, John.
All right, brilliant stuff. Time to hear from Castlehaven's Seanie Cahillane now.
Seanie, a draw from the jaws of defeat. Your immediate reaction to that?
Yeah, sure. Look, we got out of jail a small bit there. It was a good competitive game, but look, Newcestown were probably a 6 or 7 point better team than us tonight, and just got a bit of luck there towards the end with two very soft goals, very lucky goals, to be honest. So, look, we'll take it and we move on. Look, we were probably poor tonight. Performance was poor. Look, our application was poor at times as well. So, but look, sometimes you have that, and the lads were just might have been a bit fatigued or something tonight, so that's the way it goes.
Would you take the conditions and the constant rain and the slippery under conditions into account?
Look, you probably would, but look, it's the same for Newcestown. So look, they're always very tough to play against. They're a good physical side, they're hard running, they're always up for it. So, and look, if you don't match them, like, you're going to be under pressure, and I don't think we matched them tonight and we were under pressure.
You're undefeated, but where are you in terms of at this stage of the league? There's like three rounds to go. How happy are you where you actually are?
Look, we're relatively happy. Look, we're undefeated, but we've lost draws. So, and look, we had a lot of okay performances as well, got to be looking in certain occasions, but look, we're relatively happy. We're after developing a good for players, so we're happy in that aspect of it, because look, we're unfortunately after a good few injuries and stuff, and but look, there's players after stepping up to the mark, especially in the last few games, so we're delighted with that.
When you consider the opposition as well, you know each other so well, there's never much in it, but the physicality of tonight's game, and if, considering the conditions, it's a really good game, that'll bring you on.
Yeah, 100%. No, you could see it there tonight. It was hard hitting, fair and hard hitting. Good look, as I said, you always get that against Leinster. They're a great club and we've great admiration for them, and look, every time you play against them, you know you have to be at your top level, and look, I suppose we probably weren't at our top level tonight, but as I said, a bit lucky to get the draw in the end.
What was the goal with the league, or was there any kind of goal this year, Shawnee?
No, look, I suppose you take game from game, and look, as I said, if you can develop any couple of players for your panel, for your championship panel, and to try to have a bit of squad depth, look, you're going to have injuries, you always have injuries, and like, you know, fellas that we can count on come championship time, that we can throw them in a certain position. Like, they're getting well tested here in the league and were tested tonight, so we'll review tonight now and move on for Sunday again.
Micheál Maguire was one of those players. He played really well considering conditions as well.
Yeah, 100%. He's only just back from injury as well. I think that was his first game back now in a long time, so I'm delighted with him now, because he's been a bit slow with his progress and with his hamstring injury. So look, we're as I said, look, he did well now tonight, and other fellas did well in previous games, so as I said, look, we're getting, lads are getting plenty of game time, so where it's great to see.
Okay. Hopefully the next time we talk it'll be better weather.
No better, thanks sir. Thanks.
And they've just thrown in back again in Parky Ring. Cork 11 points to Meath 116, in case you missed earlier. Moving on now, and earlier today I was joined by Alan Dineen of the Rebel Wheelers wheelchair rugby team, who's headed to Spain for the European Championships this week. And here he is to talk to us about the Rebel Wheelers wheelchair rugby and the importance of the Cork public in donating to the young sports stars. All right, a big red bench welcome to Alan Dineen of the Rebel Wheelers. Alan, you're headed to Spain for a competition for the Irish wheelchair rugby team. You're looking forward to it?
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're heading off to Zaragoza in Spain. We have a European B Championships over there, so it's going well. It's going to be a good one.
How's the training going for it? Is there much? Is you going up to Dublin, or is it based out of Cork?
It's a bit of both. So we train in the club, top environment down in Cork. So that's what Rebel Wheelers Multi Sports Club. We train on a Monday night, and then we're in Dublin nearly every weekend at the moment, every second weekend, in preparation for this tournament then, and that's training with the international setup.
And there's a few of you going from Cork as well. We have Jade and John as well.
Yes, we've a nice group from Cork. So myself, Jade, and John McGarty, we're flying the Cork flag very proud over there now with the rest of the team.
Well, how did you first start with the Rebel Wheelers, Alan?
So I was one of the founding members of Rebel Wheelers in the day. So kind of when that started up, I was one of the original kids, and I just stumbled from there. You know, started playing wheelchair basketball, wheelchair rugby, fell in love with rugby then, and kind of skyrocketed with that. It was onto the Irish team kind of about 2011, I think, was my first international tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And just been on that journey ever since.
We hear a lot about the Rebel Wheelers and the great work they do around Cork. What does it mean to yourself, Alan?
I wouldn't be where I am without Rebel Wheelers. They've been so facilitating to everything, and like open up so many avenues for kids with disabilities in Cork as well. Between like basketball and rugby, quite supportive on both of us, para-athletics as well. Any sport the club or the kids are doing, like Rebel Wheelers, they're so good at supporting it and kind of driving them on then as well, trying to get the best out of the kids as well, and whether that's goals of just participating or kind of having that international aspirations as well. They're really good at supporting it.
And I'm sure it's a great social outlet as well for yourself and everyone involved.
Yeah, it's great. You know, you get loads of friends, and you know, it's nice because obviously we're all coming from the same background then, whereas like if you're in your own social circle, you're probably the only person with a disability.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to kind of come together then and kind of like have those shared experiences, like, you know, especially there's a good group I'm involved with, basketball and the rugby. So like, you kind of have your groups within the team then as well, like, and you're always like supportive and like kind of willing to egg you on then as well, and like if you've a bad day or whatever, to know you're they're there, and there's probably someone on the team that has experienced something similar, like whether it's your wheelchair breaking or prosthetic falling apart or something, you know. So it's nice to have that kind of social outlet as well with the teams.
Is there many involved with the Rebel Wheelers? How many would you say is at the club?
I should know off the top of my head. there's over 50 kids with physical disabilities participating. Yeah, so it's grown. Like when we started originally, I think there was four of us, and then it just grew and grew and grew. And you know, like we're up to the stage now where there's the junior club on the Saturday. Then there's like the wheelchair rugby on the Monday, which do a junior session and then a senior session.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same with the basketball then as well. So there's junior and senior basketball, power athletics will be quite similar. You know, it's massive now. And like, you'd be pushing around town or walking around town or anywhere in Camp Creedy, and you'd see someone wearing a rubber wheelchair top, which is quite nice now. Like, you know, it's kind of grown into a recognised club, which is great.
And you're always competing at just the upper echelons of Irish sport in general. There's always a great success story coming out of the club as well.
Yeah, no, it's good. Like I was saying a while ago, you know, they're very supportive. Like that rugby and basketball would be the ones I'd be most involved with. And like, we're quite successful. So the basketball, we've won so many more leagues and tournaments, and rugby's similar as well. You know, we've won the Irish League a good few times. We've always had minimum of two players on the Irish team with rugby thing as well. So it's definitely driving standards of what para sport should be in Ireland as well, which is great.
Yeah, great to see. And you're competing as an Irish wheelchair rugby player. What's the difference between wheelchair rugby and basketball? Is it as hard hitting as it looks?
It's probably harder hitting. So it's rugby. Wheelchair rugby is the only full contact Paralympic sport. So it's played on a basketball court, four players on court at a time. It gets rugby from the rugby name from the contact element. Outside of that, it's kind of a mixture of like basketball rules, American football rules, hockey or ice hockey rules as well. So it's a combination of kind of different sports. And it's also the only mixed gender sport at the Paralympic level as well. So males and females play together on the same team.
How many of you are headed to Zaragoza in Spain?
There are 12 in total. So there's 8 players and 4 staff. Again, quite small numbers, limited with developmental opportunities the last couple of years. But it's a strong squad, but a small squad, but looking to make an impact.
Well, absolutely. You're competing in Division B. How many teams then are you going facing, and what are you expecting from the competition?
So there's 8 teams in the competition. There's 2 groups, so Group A and Group B, and we're in the B group. We're hoping to get top 2 in our group and then get into the crossovers, and then hopefully crossovers go well, get into the finals and then compete for first, second place in the finals, which would be promotion to European Championships A then.
Brilliant stuff.
And that's the end goal.
Is there a big cost to all of this, Alan? I'd imagine so, getting over there and everything with a wheelchair.
Yeah, so there's loads of costs. Obviously there's the funding issue of getting over there is the big thing, because it's not just bringing a person, you have to bring a minimum of 2 wheelchairs per person as well that you have to pay for. And then the price of the wheelchair itself is quite expensive. So wheelchairs are about 8-9 grand. So that's all out of the pockets then as well. And then we have a good fundraising kind of team behind us as well. You know, Jack Squibb is driving that on there an awful lot as well. So it's nice, but it is all kind of self-funded or fundraised. So there's always that stress of kind of funding being an issue for us wanting to go away to competitions as well.
Well, I'm sure if your wheelchair is getting battered and bruised from the rugby as well, there's a fair bit of repairs going into it.
There is, yeah. It's like a miniature Formula One setup with all the punctures you get and everything. So I'm well prepared at the moment. I'm just looking at my chair there, and I have 6 gear wheels with me, and I can guarantee I'll go through all those six pairs multiple times over there. Yeah.
Incredible. So if people want to donate and help you out, Alan, where can they do that?
Yeah, so there's a Lido Late link. It's on our Irish Way to Rugby Facebook and Instagram page. So it's a link in our bio there. And then if they want more information as well, they can just reach out to us on our social media channels. And we're happy to get as many involved as we can. So if you have a disability or if you don't have a disability, you just want to be involved in it, if you want to reach out, and we'll accommodate that as best as we can.
What other sports are there available besides the basketball and the rugby, if people are looking at getting involved?
So there's para athletics, para swimming, boccia, para cycling. There's any sport you can think of, really. There normally is a para version of that, something like that. So between rubber wheelers, IWA sports, Irish Future Rugby, Irish basketball, Irish Future Basketball, Paralympics, Ireland, you know, like we're always trying to accommodate as best as we can to get as many people involved in sport, because it's such a vital part of life as well.
Yeah, the Rebel Wheelers doing a fantastic work as always. So Alan, when you're headed off tomorrow, or is it?
We're heading off tomorrow. So I'm meeting in Dublin Airport at 5 a.m. So nice early start for myself down here. And then we fly out and the competition starts on Wednesday.
Well, brilliant stuff, Alan. I'm sure you'll do Rebel Wheelers, Cork and the whole country pro. Thanks so much for taking the call, and best luck, and people can go donate if they want to help you out as well on the Rebel Wheelers Facebook and Instagram pages. Alan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, we've had the most incredible comeback in Parky Ring. What once was an 8-point deficit at halftime is now just a 1-point deficit. It's Cork 19 points to Meath's 117. Some incredible shooting all round from Cork. David Buckley getting himself a 2-pointer. Mark Cronin with his 4th point of the day. And Cork are just about to pop over another one. I think the Sherlock has done it. He's got a 2-pointer. Cork have taken the lead. Absolutely incredible. We're not even 10 minutes gone into the second half. The 8-point deficit has now Cork leading by 1 point. We'll keep you updated with this one. Thanks to Alan for joining us earlier, and best of luck to him in Spain this week. We're going to go for halftime here on the Big Red Bench. Be sure to stay with us. We have interviews with Cork hurling boss Ben O'Connor and superstar Brian Hayes after the break. Can't take our eyes off this one in Parky Ring at the moment. Incredible stuff.
FM. The Big Red Bench. Cork's Red FM.
And welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next 15-20 minutes. Since I left you last, Cork had taken the lead against Meath, and about 10 seconds later, Sherlock kicked over another 2-pointer to put them 3 in front. But Meath did fire back with one of their own, so it's still Cork leading by 1. The crowd are absolutely hopping in Parky Ring. Cork 23 points to Meath's 119. We look ahead now to tomorrow, and the hurlers take on Clare in Parky Cueve. It's important for the hurling bandwagoners he don't confuse the two grounds. But earlier in the week, Joe McCarthy caught up with boss Ben O'Connor.
Now, round 5 of the Munster GAA Hurling Senior Championship takes place on Sunday, May 24th, where Cork hosts Clare at Super Value Parky Cueve with a 4 p.m. throw-in. Cork Senior Hurling Manager Ben O'Connor joins us now on the Big Red Bench. Ben, how are things? Thanks very much for taking the time to speak to us. It will have been a fortnight since Cork emerged from a 126-25 point win over Waterford at Azuri Walsh Park. How beneficial has that break been for you now and the players ahead of facing Clare?
Yeah, I suppose, look, it's a hectic schedule, as you know, and I suppose not alone physically but mentally for the boys to get 2 weeks to just recover from it. It's nice to get the break. Training has gone well since. We haven't trained that hard, trying to freshen fellas up, but this has gone well, and we're looking forward to Sunday above the park, and hopefully it's a little crowd again.
Have you felt any difference since securing your place in the All-Ireland knockout stages, even any small weight off your shoulders, especially when it's your first year as the manager?
Yeah, I suppose, look, we said in the start of the year, Joe, we want to win every game, and look, we didn't win we haven't every game won yet, and I suppose the objective was to make sure to be one of the three to get out of Munster, and now that we've that done, look, we want to drive on and we want to get to the Munster final. I suppose that was the goal at the start of the year, was to get to the Munster final, but I suppose the main thing was to get out of Munster. Now that we have that done, we'll be driving forward for next Sunday.
And next Sunday is going to be a serious test because Clare were mightily impressive in seeing off the reigning All-Ireland champions Tipperary in the previous round. Eamon Murphy in the Echo points out that Cork have only beaten Clare once in their last seven championship meetings and that Clare are the last team to defeat Cork at Super Value Park Aquive. Look, this is going to be a ferocious battle anyway, but you'll need to be at your best, Ben. And how important is it that you start off with the right mentality and intent from the opening minute against a team that will have respect but little fear of you?
Yeah, look, Clare have been a bogey team of Cork for the last few years, and their record in Park Aquive is actually good, the same as their record over in Turles is good as well. So look, they'll have no issues in coming down to Cork on Sunday, but look, all boys know what's ahead of them. They know that there's a right battle, and they're going to be ready for it. I suppose they drew in Cusack Park last year and they beat us in the other than the year before, so look, there's plenty of motivation there for our lads, and look, things have done well, and we're looking forward to it.
Brian Lowen was a fierce competitor on the pitch and he's done a fantastic job as Clare's manager, including that 2024 All-Ireland final that you mentioned, success there. I would imagine there's similarities in his path, Ben, from being an inter-county player to becoming an All-Ireland winning manager that you want to emulate.
Yeah, sure. What we're looking for jurors to win the All-Ireland, we're not hiding from the fact that that is the ultimate goal, and that should be the ultimate goal for everyone that's playing hurling in the country. And maybe they're afraid to say it, but look, that's what we're looking for. But we have to go step by step, and Sunday is the next step for us. And look, you know, every team that will be under Brian Lohan, you know, they'll be aggressive and physical, and that they're well drilled. And look, we know there's a battle in front of us, but all boys are ready for it, and we're enjoying our hurling at the moment, and forecast is supposed to be a little bit better as well the weekend, so that makes us even better again. Look, there's nothing better than going up to the park and the sun's shining down Phil's back. It just makes it that bit more special.
That's been a key message, Ben, from you, in fairness to you, since you took the job, that you wanted the guys coming into training looking forward to training, that the game should be not necessarily the easy bit, but that you'd have the work done and then you're ready for the matches, and you've said that since day one, and the players seem to be responding.
All the lads wanted to come in and perform. Look, we've a lot of hard work done. We started back in the 17th of November, and they've done a lot of hard slog in Park Arena and above in the Pearshig, and now is the time to start bearing reward for all the work they've done. And they're just mad for hurling. I suppose every other county is the same, but when you're only dealing with your own crew, you just see like they're just mad for poking ball and mad for messing around. You know, so that is a good way to be. And look, the weather hasn't been that good all along, but like any fine evening, you see the lads get out in the field well before training, trying to get him off the field after he's had their job again. So look, I suppose that's just the way it is. But no, the boys are. They're enjoying the matches. Very easy to enjoy a match when you have 75% of the crowd supporting you as well. It does make it easier.
You spoke to us earlier in the new year, admitting that picking a panel was going to be the first tough task you had as the Cork senior manager. Now, Dara Fitzgibbon, Rob Downey, Kieran Joyce and Robbie O'Flynn are injured. Your panel has been stretched. How glad are you to have picked the depth that you have and that you have the next man up mentality?
Yeah, sure. Look, at the time you're thinking, oh, this is impossible because you've all the fellas here standing in front of you. But as they're starting to drop one by one, it just shows how important it is getting your panel right at the start of the year. And look, thankfully, we had fellas that we put a lot of faith in, and they haven't let us down. They've trained hard. When they're not in the team, they're still training hard and they're pushing on the fellas that are in the team. And now that they see that there's a few injuries that are disappointed for the lads, but still they see it as a chance of getting in themselves. And they know that if they like all these fellas think that they're good enough, and they know if they get in and play well enough that they'll hold on to jersey, so there's a good carrot in front of them.
I also asked you this before, but are you still making time to puck around with the kids and get away from all this when you need to?
Yeah, sure. There's kicking a football and there's poking around, all that has to be done as well. You can't neglect them at home. And they come to training and odd night with me as well, like, so that's a right bonus from two up meet lads. So look, you have to have everything going your way. So look, lads come training there with me, and when they go up, the boys above look after them as well. Like, so no, we're in a good place. We think we've a good bunch of fellas around. Outside of hurling, we have a good bunch of fellas in there.
Okay, and finally, a word for the Cork supporters. We've spoken before, we know how much they're driving you and the players on, but what's your message to them ahead of Sunday?
Yeah, I suppose, look, keep expectations low. I suppose that's the main thing, not to be put putting any extra pressure on the lads. They all know what's at stake, but they don't need people to be getting carried away talking about this and talking about that. So that's all I would say, is that just treat every game as it comes, and that's the way we're doing it, and we'd like that if the supporters were the same.
On Sunday, May 24th, round 5 of the Munster GAA Hurling Senior Championship will see Cork taking on Clare at Super Valley Park in Cueve with a 4 o'clock throw in. From everyone here on the Big Red Bench, good luck to you, Ben, your management team and your players on Sunday.
Cheers, Rob. Thanks very much.
All right, we go back to the big ball for a moment. It's Cork 25 points to Meath's 121, but perhaps, rather more importantly, Cork have had Colm O'Callaghan sent off, a disgraceful decision by the referee, to be honest with you. That type of incident happens about 20 times a game. No way was it a red card, a yellow at most. Incredible decision, and it was then followed up by an incredible decision on Brian O'Driscoll to yellow card him for a challenge on Costello in the full forward line. Two bizarre calls from the referee there. Hopefully now the impetus has not swung in Meath's favour. Cork are currently on the attack, looking to make a bit of a cushion for themselves, but having a man sent off, it could mean curtains for Cork in this one, unfortunately. But hopefully the Rebels will rise and get the job done against the odds there. There must be a sniper in Park Ring at the moment, the way those Mead lads are going down. Back to the hurling to try and calm down. And here's Brian Hayes, who's speaking to Tommy Rooney during the week.
New manager coming in. Is there much getting used to Ben O'Connor and his style and his way of doing business, or was it a seamless transition?
I was lucky enough to miss some of the bad days in the winter when they were probably doing treacherous running there up in the Pearshig. But
you were flying it with the club and at the time, right?
Yeah, when we came back, it seemed like it was. They did fit in well, to be fair. You know, they've obviously brought their own stamp on things, but as I said, the culture that the previous management and the players have, I would think that like Ben has said to us, that he, you know, that he's delighted to be involved because of the work that we're putting in. And you know, to be fair, as a manager, if he's just asking us to work hard and to give it our all, you know, that's the minimum we're going to do for him and for the lads, to be fair. So yeah, they've been great. And look, I think he would have came from a similar background in terms of the team that Pat would have been on. So like they're not too dissimilar as well. Just from different areas of Cork, I suppose.
yeah, no, of course. The battle with Mark Fitz at the weekend was an interesting one. Look, you guys are competing and you're going up against each other, but is there familiarity with the fellas that you're coming up against in full back lines? And I think Aidan O'Shea was talking about this in recent years, that, you know, there's no more All-Star trips, there's, you know, less things like interprovincials that happen. So obviously colleges level, you might come up against each other and play against each other and with each other, but
yeah,
is there like that bit of contempt on the field, or is there a bit of like, what's it like when you're battling against fellas time and time again?
I suppose there's just that mutual respect, I suppose. You know, like you're playing teams now, whether it be, you know, Munster League, Munster and Robin, potentially an All-Ireland series, you know, there's so many games that you can play against someone even in one season, not a mind say over a couple of years. And you know, there's different players that you'd have great battles with over different games. But yeah, to answer your question about Mark, you know, he's a great player and he's a tough fella to get the better of. Would have marked him over in San Francisco playing a bit of hurling over there as well. He was playing with Nafi and I was playing with Tipperary, so would have marked him two or three times over there. So yeah, he was tough at the weekend, but I'm sure whoever has to pick him up the next day is going to have their hands full.
Yeah, you get to know boys. That's what you're telling me. You get to know them inside out and they get to know you.
Can't give too much away now, to be fair, but yeah, I know, like, there's different fellas, and you know what, one fella might leave a mark or two in you that you can catch him the next day.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of the round robin system that we have. I think it's breeding consistent rivalries even between, you know, supporters and stuff. You know, it's nearly like there's a kind of cultural thing that's developing here that I think we might look back on in time and say, oh, all right, okay, that's kind of where that really took off, because in previous years you might meet for two or three seasons, do you know?
Yeah, no, it is class, to be fair, to be, like, especially during the Munster, we're lucky that, you know, the games are so hard and you're playing in front of full stadiums week in, week out. You know, they're all sold out games. And that, like, I think when them kind of games are happening, you know, the games become a bit more helter skelter rather than it being, you know, a full stadium, or like you, there's a lot more can happen in a full stadium. And I think you can see that the way the matches kind of progress and how physical they become. But look, I think like the games are so hard, they just take on a life of their own.
Speaking of rivalries, Clare, that's, you know, brilliant rivalry you guys have had over the years. It's been so close between you in the last couple of seasons too. That's going to be a massive game now in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah. Are you a Clare supporter these days? Are you?
Well, I'm living in Clare, but like, you know, I got to stay neutral in my job, Brian. You know,
yeah.
I got to stay in defence.
No, we'll be targeting that now in a couple of weeks. You know, we've had a good few battles with Clare over the last couple of years. They're a very, very hard team to get over, and you know, they're so physical, and they're such quality hurlers in their squad that you know, they can turn it on at any stage. And I'm sure they'll only be raring to go next weekend after the game against Limerick. So I'm not sure what will happen at the weekend, but we're delighted to have a week off and have a bit of time to prepare for Clare, and we'll have to be ready for that one, because hopefully if we can win that, I think we can get to a Munster final then.
Yeah, it'll have, like, you're already in a good position. You'll be in an even better position if you can get the job done that day as well. Were you part of the Red Army in Killarney last weekend?
I was. It was nice to have a game on a Saturday. You know, the Saturday games there are things that the players love, I'd say. So we had a game on a Saturday, obviously went home and went down to Clare. There was a few lads going down, so went down and ended up watching the match with my dad. He would have brought me to a few Munster finals before. So it was nice to get down there, and haven't been down to Clare now since the 15 final, I think. There was a draw that day, so Cork were robbed that day, but I haven't been down there since then. So it was good to get down. That was the Fitzgerald Lady Glazer.
Yeah. Okay.
There was a penalty there that they should have got, I think.
And was there maybe, did James O'Donoghue maybe get taken out by a sniper in the crowd that day as well, or was that 14? I can't remember.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. All I know anyway is that I was running into Michael Shields afterwards.
Yeah, your clubmate.
Yeah, from the Bears. He was a big hero of mine growing up. So it was nice. It was nice to get down to Clarny. It's a great occasion, and it was nice. Nice spot for the game, to be fair. And hopefully Cork can bounce back now against Meath.
Of course. There you go. Jeez, you're kind of up against it with me, a Meath man living in Clare, and yeah, I'm obviously
all the questions are about Cork, about Clare and Meath.
Yeah, I'm trying to fish here. But you obviously went on to win it.
Well, we're going to have to park it there. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. And in the Cork-Meath clash, it's Cork 25 points to Meath's 121. Some scandalous calls still going in, all against Cork, of course. Maurice Shanley running all the way up from cornerback. A push on the back from Costello and nothing given. Hopefully the Rebels can see it out. We've just popped over another point there. Daniel Romani all the way from fullback. There's about 13 minutes on the clock there in Parky Ring. Some huge moments for Cork's future in the All-Ireland Series. Hopefully they pull it out of the bag. It'd be great to get in to the 2A division side of the draw. That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey signing off. I'll see you tomorrow in Parky Cueve for Cork versus Clare.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.